What exactly happened with Saudi Arabia and the UNSC?
Well, Saudi Arabia for about a little over 18 months, I think, has been campaigning very actively to get a seat on the United Nations Security Council as a temporary member. As you know, there's five permanent members, but they usually rotate on a two-year basis, and to get one of those seats is usually very coveted. It's you have to do a lot of campaigning, you have to do a lot of hand-pressing and so on to get to that point. So this is the first time that Saudi Arabia was offered the seat. So after all the effort that they put into it, the people that were involved in it, the representatives of Saudi Arabia and the United Nations celebrating this big accomplishment, I think about 48 hours later, they announced that they're going to reject it, which was a big shock. It was a big shock for, actually, it was a big shock for the Saudi Arabian delegates, but it was also a big shock for the United Nations as a whole. They didn't know what to do. This has never happened before, literally never happened before. So, Saudi Arabia is very much a team player when it comes to the United Nations. So this was not expected. We're not talking about Venezuela here or Iran or somebody who usually is very dramatic in their gestures. So the Arabia is kind of like a little more of a team player. So this was a shock. And so people started speculating from that point on as to why would Saudi Arabia, after having worked hard to get this seat, reject it. And there was a lot of speculations.
Okay, I'm just curious, I don't know that much about the temporary members of the UNSC. What role would Saudi Arabia have been playing? Like, what could they have voted on? What impact would they have had?
My understanding is that they can vote on anything. Of course, they don't have veto rights. A lot of it, of course, they would have influence because they'd be closer to the direct to the epicenter, and they would have the ability to vote, so they would be able to give their support to an issue. The Security Council is really the core of the United Nations. That's how, and they would be that close to the five permanent members of the United Nations. In many ways, they don't have any ultimate control over it, but they can definitely more directly forward their own interests or the interests that they're working to forward on an international level a lot more than just being one of the members in general.
Because of the effort that goes into trying to be elected to the Security Council, how premeditated do you think this move was on?
I do not think it's premeditated. I mean, because remember that the campaigning for this starts a long time before. It started a long time before what I think was the reason for the for Saudi Arabia to reject the seat, if that makes sense. So it's not like they didn't know back when they started campaigning for this that there would be any disagreement between them and the U.S. or between them and the general direction that the United Nations is taking. So I do not think it's premeditated at all. It would be a lot of effort to just send a message, if that's,
And you mentioned that this was an unprecedented event to happen. What was your immediate reaction when you heard that this had happened?
I was surprised, because it was coming from Saudi Arabia specifically. Okay. Saudi Arabia does not do big gestures on the international. I mean, they work very much... they're very influential. They've always been involved in everything that's happening in the region, particularly in the Middle East. But they do it quietly and by proxy. So they're not big gesture types, this kind of dramatic gesture, especially when the gesture is in opposition to, you know, their traditional allies, U.S. being the strongest of them.
Okay. Yeah. How have other countries in the region, and I guess also around the world, in the UN, reacted to this?
It was, I mean, that's the thing. There was... it was interesting, actually. All of the countries that are in the Arabian Peninsula have their own council. They work on things like visa issues, and it's kind of like the EU, but for the Gulf. And of course, that one of the strongest members there is Saudi Arabia. Really, the strongest member there is Saudi Arabia. They have their on that council. They have their very close allies. and not so close allies, but never do they have enemies.
Okay.
They wouldn't be on that council. So that council immediately said, yes, we support what Saudi Arabia is doing, because of course, the official reason Saudi Arabia gave is very kind of like, you know, big, high morals, and, you know. But they're talking, of course, about Israel and the region, because Israel has, well, they have nuclear weapons. But of course, everybody was up in arms when Iran was trying to develop weapons, which is an interesting statement to make, because of course, Saudi Arabia is completely in opposition to Iran having any kind of nuclear weapons. But it's about that double standard. The other double standard is with regards to what they did not do in Syria in the civil war. So that's really the main issue. They were very upset about the fact that when Obama declared that there is a red line, that once it's crossed, we will intervene, and he ended up backing out, kind of supporting the Russian initiative, which kind of gave the Assad regime kind of a slap on the wrist, and they said, you need to destroy it and don't do it again. That kind of Saudi Arabia was livid. They were not even consulted about it. So they were, and of course, they're directly involved in the conflict in Syria. That's the second reason. The third reason, of course, the Israel-Palestine. So they're like, the council has been giving lip service for so long, nothing ever works because of the veto power of the U.S. So every time there's even a resolution to condemn Israel or whatever, the U.S. will veto it regardless. So that's really what, I mean, of course, they themselves have been there for 68 years. It's not like this is but it's an interesting opportunity to take to demoralize.
So do you believe that those moral reasons that they give were their real reasons?
No, absolutely not. Of course not.
Okay.
There's, of course, kernel of truth, everything that they said, we know that. I mean, and there is truth to everything they said. That's not the point. It's not about whether it's true or not. It's about whether Saudi Arabia's intentions in rejecting that seat were really to protest these things or not. And and the reason I think that's really kind of I think this was probably not the reason Saudi Arabia really rejected that seat is because those are not new things. So, of course, Israel-Palestine is not new, and they've wavered, supported the U.S. policies, talked about peace processes, and so on. So they, even though they do a lot of lip service when it comes to Palestine and Palestinians and Arabs and so on, in real, they have a lot of leverage, if they chose to use it, to have a much bigger impact. They put, you know, they tighten the cranks on the U.S., which would tighten the cranks on Israel, and so on. So, and we know that that is, you know, that is probably not the reason. But the real reason they talked about when it comes to is Syria is probably what we're hopefully I'll talk about in a second. That is absolutely there. But of course, the way they put it in terms of moral issues and the United Nations doing this or that, they had a long, long history of supporting, going along with the flow of that allowed for all of these situations to continue and be maintained, in some cases, for six decades.
Okay.
So this is like suddenly they woke up. So we know that it's not. I'm pretty sure it's, I mean, most people know that that's not the reason. Now, where problems happen is the way people have been interpreting them, and unfortunately, they talk about Saudi Arabia like they are children, or, oh, they got really mad, so they decided to do it on, you know, the most annoying, and really, I mean, it's those, the terms that the journalists are using are very reminiscent of colonial terms, in terms of like, oh, they really do not know what they're doing, oh, they got heated up and they ended up not being rational. It's very racist, really, in a way, like as if they really do not understand the idea of having a policy and a strategy. They just get really, you know, in the heat of the moment, the king will say something, what is the word, cut off their nose, smack their face. Ridiculous. It really is ridiculous. And if anybody that has, and unfortunately that's most of what you read, but if anybody has any kind of knowledge of the history of how Saudi Arabia operates, this is not, it operates in the region, and the goals that they have right now, this should not be, it's surprising in the way they actually, that it happened, but it should not be, it's perfectly understandable by looking at their history and strategizing. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's not like the, oh, you know, the king got really mad and he issued a firman or something, you know. It's ridiculous and really racist and annoying when I read it. So I think there's other reasons that I would love, and like I can talk about. But
I think coming off of your last comment about the way journalists are portraying this,
mm-hmm.
you mentioned in your email that you've been following the coverage in Arabic, Turkish,
mm-hmm.
and English,
mm-hmm.
and we were wondering if there's been differences in the portrayal of the issue.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So of course, in English, it's really the same kind of different variations on what I just told
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
In Arabic and Turkish, there, I mean, most of the insight that you're that I'm gonna express now, because this is not my area of research, is
mm-hmm.
just really stuff that I'm reading mostly from. Arabic newspapers, a lot of the Arabic newspapers, some of them are, of course, they repeat what the Saudi government
mm-hmm.
said because they are funded in Saudi Arabia, because they,
mm-hmm.
but there's a lot of newspapers that are completely independent journalists, and especially out of Lebanon, that gave really interesting analysis, and that's really how I started to figure out why this is actually very logical rather
mm-hmm.
than illogical. And the impact is large, and it's meant to be large. So there's no mention of like, oh, Saudi Arabia, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I should mention though that the Arab League issued a statement asking Saudi Arabia to reconsider its decision.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
Yeah, and and Saudi Arabia did not reconsider its position, but
mm-hmm.
but it's also, that's all part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So what they said is that the exact, it was about how we, the Arab states, deserve someone as talented
mm-hmm.
and as someone who cares for the interests of Arabs and Muslims,
okay.
to
mm-hmm.
be on that security council.
Mm-hmm.
We would like you to reconsider your decision, because you would be the perfect voice for the.
Mm-hmm.
For so it was mm-hmm. so there's this game of
mm-hmm.
you know, having said that, Turkey was the first, one of the first actually to officially support
mm-hmm.
what the Saudi decision, and state quite explicitly that we believe that this delegitimizes the Security Council and what it stands for.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what Saudi Arabia actually is trying to bring to the surface. So they kind of congratulated Saudi Arabia on having the guts to do that.
Mm-hmm.
France said that they understand why Saudi Arabia rejected it. And the reason France, which is an interesting, it's very interesting because, of course, it's all about Syria. It's really all about Syria and
mm-hmm.
different people that have taken different approaches to Syria. France is involved in Syria and Lebanon since colonial times.
Mm-hmm.
They're very invested, particularly in Lebanon. But Lebanon, you cannot separate Lebanon from Syria. They were also shocked and annoyed by Obama's decision not to
mm-hmm.
interfere directly. So Saudi Arabia doing this work for them kind of gave them, it really did the work for them.
Okay.
And they were like, yeah, we'll get it. Instead of saying to Obama, what are you doing? You know,
there's
a lot of playing around.
Okay, interesting. Then I guess the last question I at least had, unless there's something else, was... just what impact has this had so far, and what impact will this choice have on Saudi Arabia, on the UNSC, if anything? Or
I should probably start by stating that the United Nations Security Council has never had to face this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now they're trying to figure out how to fill that seat. What is interesting is that they are now throwing around. They asked the coalition of Arab states to come up with another name.
Mm-hmm.
The name that they're coming up with is, of course, Kuwait. Have you heard this?
No.
Okay. So Kuwait is the closest possible ally to Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, the Kuwaiti regime and the Saudi regime have been there. They've never really stood against one another.
Right.
They really work very closely.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is the case, Saudi Arabia would have done like a win-win. Because what ends up happening if Kuwait comes,
mm-hmm.
their interests would be represented,
right.
very
mm-hmm.
much so. And they can give a voice indirectly, the way they like to do things, indirectly to the to the Security Council.
Mm-hmm.
They can vote freely against what the US or some
mm-hmm.
other Western allies without having to justify it every single time, without having to look like they're standing continuously against suggestions that the U.S. or their Western allies
mm-hmm.
are presenting
okay.
in the Security Council. They don't have to worry about this. But their interests would be represented.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, they would be free from obligations of directly not having to do what the Security Council is recommending. What I mean by this is that their support, their not so much so secret support
mm-hmm.
for opposition groups in Syria
mm-hmm.
Does not have funneling money and weapons to the opposition groups, which of course are an amalgam of a whole bunch of people. They're not
mm-hmm.
Most of the groups that they're being supported in are not actually Syrian. They're
mm-hmm.
Islamist groups that are, would have problematic ideologies. They don't have to be limited in doing this if they are not on the Security Council.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So they cannot say we need to stop, vote against supporting
mm-hmm.
this militia
mm-hmm.
one day but then continue to funnel it.
Mm-hmm.
This way they can. You know,
mm-hmm.
they actually are declaring in a way that we are going to work outside of this
mm-hmm.
These rules. We are still committed, even though
mm-hmm.
the U.S. seems to have pulled out from supporting the opposition.
Mm-hmm.
We are still committed to supporting that opposition.
Mm-hmm.
We're a lot more invested in that because to them it has huge implications
mm-hmm.
for Saudi Arabia locally because they're
okay.
not divorced from the region.
Mm-hmm. As for impact on the UNSC, do you think that Saudi Arabia's choice would have any impact on? You know, on Syria or on the issues that they were complaining about on the double standards, or do you think that...
I don't think that will have any impact.
Okay.
I don't think they know it, but it won't have an impact.
Okay.
I mean, I remember that the veto power is
mm-hmm.
really what
yeah.
they've been controlling the world for since World War II. So there's never really an impact other than public pressure, which
mm-hmm.
really doesn't amount to much because it's
okay.
not, you know. So, no, it will not have an impact on the United Nations Security Council, but I think it's a very smart move on the part of Saudis to do this based on their logic of what they're trying to do, of course,
okay.
based on their interests, the regime's interest,
mm-hmm.
As we understand it, which is to maintain itself.
Okay.
Just going, one final question,
sure.
I think. Just going back a little to when you mentioned that the Arab League wanted the Saudis to reconsider.
They issued a statement.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a hell big difference between wanting them to reconsider
yeah.
and issuing a statement right. encouraging them to reconsider
mm-hmm.
in which they talk about how wonderful they would have been as representatives of the Arabs.
Is that really kind of the only expression
yes.
of disapproval?
Yeah. yeah. There is no... I mean, of course, Saudi Arabia is having trouble with a lot of its... they've always been in competition with different people. So they're supporting the new Egyptian regime, the military coup regime, when
mm-hmm.
other states in the region are, of course, not supporting it.
Mm-hmm.
They're supporting the opposition in Syria, and not everybody is supporting the opposition in Syria. So that's putting them in places of conflict.
Okay.
And now the rules of the game are changing because suddenly they are also their biggest supporter, their biggest ally is the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
And when the U.S. has signaled that they are going in a different direction, they need to now work in a different way. They cannot
mm-hmm.
go through the system,
mm-hmm.
and they realize that. So as they're trying to maintain the old way of doing things
mm-hmm.
in the region, they are having to change some of the tools because some of the tools that they had at their disposal now for decades
mm-hmm.
are not have changed. It's just the equation
mm-hmm.
has changed, and they need to work on it in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's all the questions we had. If is there anything else you wanted to add as a final statement? Any points we didn't cover?
No, not really.
Okay.
The story is not over
mm-hmm.
by any
mm-hmm.
stretch. I would really watch out to see who takes their seat, and from there if they end up placing someone in Saudi Arabia's place that is not an ally of Saudi
mm-hmm.
Arabia, then we have
mm-hmm.
a whole other different story. But I doubt that very much. I mean, we can see Kerry went to Saudi Arabia to try
mm-hmm.
and assure them that they
right.
are not working in any way against Saudi Arabia or that they were dropping Saudi Arabia. Of course, they will not drop Saudi Arabia
mm-hmm.
as an ally.
Mm-hmm.
And that they are not becoming, you know, Iranian buddies, which we know.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be a different signaling to
okay.
see what happens.